Brian Noonan in for Rokan and Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN. You've been following this story and hearing all the details about two police shootings over the weekend, but the one that is getting the most attention, 55-year-old Betty Jones and 19-year-old Quintonio LeGreer were shot by police. The police have come out and said the shooting and the death of Ms. Jones was an accident. She was basically just caught in the crossfire. There was a vigil yesterday for Ms. Jones and for Mr. LeGreer. The Reverend Jesse Jackson was at that vigil. He had some pointed words for President Obama. He joins us now on 720 WGN. Reverend Jackson, thanks for taking some time this afternoon.
Well, thank you for allowing me to share with the audience. We feel so saddened by the death of these two people and for the sorrow that their families feel and what this means to all of us. I went through the house yesterday and I saw where the bullet hit Mrs. Jones, went through her body and through the house. It was a very strong trajectory. It went through three rooms of the house and came out of the toilet in the back room. As she cracked the door, they never saw her. They shot her through the door. The young man with the bat had to step across her. He was in the vestibule. They never really saw him in one sense, because he had to step across the dead body to get to the door. They shot him seven times. The only guns involved were police guns. He had no gun.
Right. The reports say he had an aluminum bat, which that was what prompted his father to call the police in the first place.
Yeah, the narrative that he was swinging the bat at the police is not an accurate narrative, which, of course, is so much the case. Too often that the police are given one story, and when the cameras are there, so far, there's been yet another story. You know, there have been 72 police killings in the last 5 years, 72. Only one indictment, that was Mr. Jason, in the case of LaGuan McDonald. And that because the tapes were so obvious there. And those who saw the killings falsified their reports. Had they been on the oath, it would have been perjury. They did not tell the truth. We deserve transparency. We need good police work, and there are many good police, but we deserve transparency, which we do not have.
And do you think that the police coming out immediately now and saying, listen, the shooting of Betty Jones was tragic, it was an accident, is that a step not in the right direction? It can never make up for what happened, obviously, but does it send a message that maybe along with the new 30 days of administrative leave immediately upon a shooting, that maybe the message is starting to get across a little bit?
I'm not convinced. If you kill someone in a premeditated way, that's first-degree murder. If you kill them in unmeditated, it's second-degree murder. This is murder. The young man without a gun was shot seven times. And by the way, they were not next to him as within threatening. They were down on the sidewalk. They shot upward and shot him seven times. And again, I repeat, this is the 72nd killing in the last 5 years. And so far, only the police chief has been fired, and Jason has been charged with murder. He's out on bond. But the other police who witnessed these killings and falsified reports are still on payroll. Nothing has happened to them. No sense of discipline or chastisement.
The Reverend Jesse Jackson is my guest on WGN. Reverend Jackson, you mentioned transparency. That's what I think everyone is calling for at this point. Looking back with the 72 shootings that you've mentioned, what do you hope will come? As more transparency comes, hopefully, what do you hope will be the result of that? Do you hope that they'll go back and investigate these 72 shootings? Do you think this will just be hopefully better going forward? Where do you hope everything falls?
Well, we do not know how many more tapes are suppressed, for example. After all, the tape on the McDonald case and the Ron Johnson case were withheld or suppressed for 13 months. And interestingly enough, the same day the mayor was given his plea and expressing his degree of sorrow, on the same day they were in court, the Corporation Counsel filing an appeal to the court did not release a Cedric Chapman tape on the same day. So they're still suppressing tapes. We don't know how many tapes are still being suppressed, and the fear would put them out there if they see the tapes. Now, we just don't know yet.
So do you think that this then is business as usual, that there's not going to be any change? What do you think will ultimately bring some change about? We've seen protests, which I think are needed. We need to get the message out. But how do you foresee actual change coming from the Chicago Police Department?
It's interesting that it seemed the mayor controls the police chief by appointing and disappointing. But the police department is controlled by the Federation of Police. And they have a protective shield around them that shields them from charges of misconduct. You know, we paid out over $600 million in settlements. That's more the amount of money that the teachers are trying to bargain for. Not to strike, and that number will surely go up given these killings, over 600 million in misconduct. And so even in the McDonald case, I repeat, they saw the killing as opposed to arresting him, a filing report on what they saw. They filed a false report, which means they lied on the oath, they would have perjured themselves. So that's the culture. That's the cover-up culture. On the streets, 75% of the murders that go unsolved, because people will not tell, they fear the police, and people will not tell because they fear each other. So fear is the prevailing wind of the day.
So how do we change that then? If that's the case, and we know that the community does not always assist the police in the investigations, as you said, for fear of the police and fear of each other. Where do we start? Because we can wring our hands, rightfully so, for all the injustice.
We start, I think, that the discipline code for the police, since they must be held to a higher standard, must be reopened in the police contract. No police should feel that he or she is above the law. The state's attorney moved quickly in Baltimore and thoroughly. That has not happened in the Alvarez case here in Chicago. She sat on the tapes for 13 months in the case of McDonald and the case of Johnson and the case of Philip Coleman for 3 years. She sat on those tapes. So in some sense, she lost her credibility as trying these cases. Therefore, we're asking for a special prosecutor. We hope the government's involvement will involve at least three points of interest, the mayor's office and the police chief, the police department, as well as the state's attorney's office.
Now, Gary McCarthy was let go. We've got an interim superintendent who has changed the policy that now any officer involved in a shooting, mandatory 30 days to go through counseling, the shooting to be investigated. Do you see that as a forward step?
Well, the acting superintendent, he saw the tape 13 months. He sat on the tape as well. He saw the tape. He told me he saw the tape and did nothing about it. And so for someone to be guilty of murdering someone with excessive force and not to witness it and lie about it, 30 days administrative leave is not very much of a penalty while they remain paid for silence.
Can you hang on for just a moment?
This is a situation where we all want better and we deserve more.
Reverend Jackson, can you hold on for just a moment? Because I'd like to ask you had some strong words for President Obama yesterday. I'd like to get to that on the other side, if you can hang on, please.
Okay.
All right. The Reverend Jesse Jackson is my guest on 720 WGN. Brian Noonan on the Rokan Show on 720 WGN. The Reverend Jesse Jackson, my guest. We're talking, obviously, about the shooting of 55-year-old Betty Jones and 19-year-old Quintonio LeGreer. The reports say...
May I say this?
Yes.
The impression is she was shot accidentally, and he deserved to be shot because he had a bat. That does not stand up under real scrutiny.
No, I agree. I don't... There's... A bat is a bat, as you said, and, you know, there's other ways.
And he was not swinging the bat at them. He had to step over a shot, bleeding body to get to the door to look out, and as he stepped to look out the door, he met a hail of bullets. The only guns involved were police guns.
Yeah, and the big question is from a lot of people: were there no tasers? Don't the police carry those anymore? Obviously, this is another one of these cases that's going to be looked at very closely. The mayor is
the second such police killing in the last 5 years. Not to mention those who were shot who did not die.
So, besides the special prosecutor, Reverend Jackson, which seems to make sense to everybody. Except Anita Alvarez, who was saying, listen, I did everything by the book. The special prosecutor comes in. We've already got the Justice Department doing an investigation. What do you think needs to be the next step? You've said the special prosecutor. We all agree there needs to be more transparency. You called out the president yesterday. How do you think the president needs to get involved?
The appeal for the president, might add, the governor has been awfully silent. This is in Illinois. The governor should have something to say about this. We need, in addition to the police-people relations, which is about containment, how do you contain poverty, how do you contain the area where you have the most recycled, mentally challenged people, where you have the most people, 75% unsolved murders, which means you're recycling murderers and recycling mentally challenged people in the same area. Unemployment is three times the average of the rest of the city. It's really a very tragic zone of challenge. So what we need from the president is a plan for urban reconstruction. We need housing and urban development. You have 80,000 vacant homes and abandoned lots. You've closed 50 public schools. The schools remain. Most of them don't have libraries. You've closed 50 drugstores, 75 grocery stores without a trauma unit. These are zones of desperation. We need a plan for urban reconstruction. The president must lead such an initiative. And if we can be excited, and we ought to be, about 130 killed in Paris. That was a horrific killing. 480 killed in Chicago, 2,900 shot in the same year. This deserves attention at every level.
Now, Reverend Jackson, I agree with you about everything you said, but those are long-term goals. Urban development, you know better than anybody else, is going to take a long time. What can be done in the short term to try to curb the violence?
In the
not
short
only
term, if you've looked at vacant the homes that have boards
yes.
rather than window panes. If you were to commit to fixing up, tearing down houses that cannot be repaired, replacing boards with window panes, fixing the roofs and glazing, you would have more jobs than there are people. That's short term. What are you going to do, bring a lot of folk out of jail because they should not be there, onto the streets without a job, and let them recycle crime? There must be some immediacy mm-hmm. to reconstruction, even now. To remove lead paint is a job. To paint is a job. Roofing, glazing, brick mason, there are jobs to be had if there's a plan to create a plan for jobs.
And is the community, would these jobs work? Could you get people to come in? And if you hire people in the community to do these jobs, to fix these houses, we still have the problem of poverty and unemployment for the people who aren't doing these jobs.
But the way you reduce poverty and unemployment with a job, that's why you need trade skill trends. In other words, whether Detroit or Baltimore or St. Louis, and that's a crisis the president sends in the attorney general about law enforcement. Mm-hmm. If you have a zone of size 10 foot and a size 8 shoe, no matter how much you maneuver, the compacted congestion creates a crisis of coins and blisters. What you need is reconstruction. People need jobs and health care and education and job training, and really need a development bank. The banks that targeted and steered and clustered black and brown homes, we lost over 3 million homes. The banks, we bail out the banks
right,
and left out the victims of bank behavior.
Well, it's one of those problems that we have to get fixed, and immediately we need to start looking into what's going on with the police-involved shootings and the violence in the community that's not police involvement. It seems to be interconnected one way or another. Hopefully
I was at Cook County Jail on Christmas Day. There about 8,000 people, 4,000 of them are mentally challenged. To let those folks out of jail without a job, over half without an education, and without a place to stay, you're asking for more problems. And easy access to guns, mental health, and 75% of the murders are unsolved, which means you're recycling murders. That requires some. You're talking about ISIS? This is a crisis, except it's at home.
Well, let's start focusing on it. Reverend Jackson, I appreciate the time this afternoon. Have a happy new year. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care. That's the Reverend Jesse Jackson. On the other side of the news, we are going to talk to Mike Brockaway with more city issues. Parking tickets, red light tickets. There's amnesty going on, but you got to take advantage of it soon. We'll get to that on the other side of the news. That's in 2 minutes on WGN.